It's the Michael Mara Show.
I bet you ain't never even been laid. How about that?
Manuel Uribe, the world's heaviest man, announced this week that he will marry his longtime girlfriend. The couple will honeymoon wherever he currently is.
You said balls.
Anderson, is there a reason why your shoe is untied? You see, on the kickball field, a screw-up like that can put you in a wheelchair. You'll end up writing your name with a pencil tape to your head the rest of your life. Set of 10.
I was laughing so hard, I almost shit my pants.
Almost?
Ooh, don't leave me this way.
Yeah. Thelma O'Mara.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Tomorrow on the big broadcast, just after 4,
Yes. We
talk with the Prince of Pain. Comedian Richard Lewis will be here, and they don't tell me exactly what time this person's going to be on, because this is a superstar, and superstars join us whenever the F they want to.
Right? Really?
The Washington Capitals, great number 8, in my opinion, perhaps the greatest hockey player up there with Gretzky
In
the history of the game. Hockey great Alex Ovechkin will be here. You've seen him on every single sports publication that has ever come out. And
He's funny, too.
He's an amazing... Oh, he's a great guy. Rob, I swear to God, he is. He's weird funny. You know
his
what I mean?
Shtick is different than Richard Lewis, though.
Do you realize, I mean, it's been a long time since my days of palling around with athletes.
Yes.
This is a guy I would love to party with.
We should bring this up tomorrow.
I swear to God, I would love it. And that's all I'm going to talk to him about. You know what he does for fun. And I think a lot of people in this town in particular would like to know what a hockey superstar, you know, does in his free time.
You
and
him
all
could
about.
Go to Applebee's or Bennigan's or
yes,
any place.
I'd like to go to one of those restaurants where you can throw peanut shells on the floor. But that's all coming up on tomorrow's little broadcast. Yeah. Without further ado, let's get back to the final buzz. Been kind of depressing today. I think he's done a good job weaving the depression and the happiness.
Yes.
He's usually a little happier as he says goodnight, so we'll see what comes up with the man, the legend. Here he is.
Thank you, Mike. It's a delicate balance. This is the last day to register to vote in 18 states in the District of Columbia.
Man, I meant to.
Oh, Rob.
I know.
Rob. Democrats have held the lead in registrations this year, adding more than 800,000 voters in 8 of the most hotly contested states, including Michigan, where the McCain campaign's now officially folded.
So I'm outside the coffee shop today. A bunch of kids sitting there at a table registering people to vote. What? Noble cause.
Last you went minute. To the coffee shop?
I just walked by it.
Central Perk, right?
I was on my way to the bookstore.
You read books?
No, magazines.
Oh, I understand now.
Dirty magazines.
You bought that old Maxim there.
Yes. No, I got that from just lying on the floor.
The discount rack.
Thank you.
Republican registrations dropped by 300,000. Republican officials say a big Republican turnout on Election Day will make up the difference.
What are you doing?
I am very
okay?
sorry. No, I'm not.
Mike's running on fumes, and I don't like the smell of those fumes.
I can smell those fumes.
Yeah, about an hour and a half of game time.
It isn't about the popular vote, though, as we've learned in recent elections. It's about the electoral vote. And do not rule out the possibility of a tie.
The Electoral College.
That's right.
B.A. B.B. Buzz, there's been a guy waiting online for a
let's
very
see what
long
that's
time
about
the bailout. I have no idea what he wants. Eric, you've been waiting a long time. What can we do for you?
Hey, sorry, guys. Don't want to get all political. And,
that's okay.
Just wanted to make a comment. The last time, outside of last week, the last time that Bush got on TV and said that we have a major threat and a great danger to the U.S. was for the war in Iraq. Now, we kind of know that that was to be pretty much a lie. So I'm not sure how you guys can, you know, listen to what Bush has to say about this economic plan.
All right, are you saying the bailout, you don't believe in the bailout, and maybe it was a mistake and we shouldn't have done it in the first place, and maybe that's why everything's going to hell in a handbasket right now?
Basically, and just the fact that Bush getting on TV and telling us that there's a grave threat to America and you know, really can't take it at face value because...
All right, I understand what you're saying because he's done it before, and I'm not prepared to argue with you. And you know what? I think, you know, you go 6 months down the road, you might see that you're absolutely right. And the fact that, you know, Bush came out and warned about this and that both sides of Congress decided we'd vote for this bailout and it really wasn't necessary. I have no information to argue with you about that.
We didn't say we believed or didn't believe. We were just telling you what he said.
Yeah, we'll see.
And further, what would you say to all the economists and all the so-called experts that say the same thing, though?
I think if you listen to some of the economists like Ron Paul and Jim Rogers, who have actually been warning about this problem for decades, regardless of what you think about Ron Paul, he's a strong economist, a student of Austrian economics, and they basically predicted our depressions, our housing bubbles.
Well, what did they say about the bailout?
Well, the bailout went from a 3-page bill
I know the history. I'm saying, what are they saying differently than anybody else? I mean, I don't care who predicted it early. I'm saying right now, the way I understand it from the economic leaders that are saying this is something, even though it sucks and everybody agrees that it sucks, it's something we had to do. What I want to hear is what the alternatives were. I know that there are several, you know, there are many congressional leaders that floated alternative plans that, you know, that they couldn't get to the floor and it didn't work out that way. But don't think for a second that we on this show are saying that it's the be all end all. I'm just going with what the experts are saying, and a lot of them were saying that this was the right thing at the time. And I also watched Lou Dobbs every single night, who absolutely made an entire week's broadcast the fact that this was the worst thing we could possibly do. And he had a bucket load of economists that said the same thing. So I know what you're saying, and I agree with it. And you know what? Time will tell, and we will see what happens. But you've got both presidential candidates that voted for this thing. I have to ask you, Eric, in a small way, though, don't you maybe hope that this works?
Oh, absolutely. I hope that it works.
Yeah, but now, after today, I mean, who knows? You might be absolutely right. Listen, we got to get the rest of Buzz on here, okay?
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate that.
You know what? He can vote for a different president when he's old enough to vote.
Hey, you know what? How can you argue with the guy? The guy's got, you know, he might be absolutely right.
You can.
You know, one thing that I think one of the problems we've had in the past, you know, with the different administrations is when you say, I am absolutely certain this is the only way to do it. The scary thing about this is even when they're trying to get this thing passed, nobody's saying that this might be the cure-all for it. Very scary.
No absolutes.
Right.
So what if there is a tie? Well, it would be up to the Democratic-controlled House to choose the president, but that doesn't mean there'd be enough votes to send their candidate to the White House. Now, this hasn't happened since 1824, and as you might imagine, it would be a lot more intense in 2008 with more lawyers and more expense. It would be up to the Senate, constitutionally, to choose a vice president. And because the Senate's also controlled by Democrats, they could choose Obama's running mate to be McCain's vice president.
Let me look into my crystal ball. Okay?
All right.
Let me look at this right now.
What do you see, Mike?
I'm taking a look to see.
What's up, Swami?
Hold on just a second.
That ball is beautiful.
Oh. Hold on just a second. You just took all my mojo out of that, you know? But that's not your fault. I know you're trying very hard. There we are. No tie.
No tie. The Swami says no tie.
No tie.
If neither the House nor the Senate could decide, then Nancy Pelosi becomes acting president.
That would have been funnier.
It's all about timing.
I'm not going to go off any late in the show. Because he does what he does.
It's like the economy. It's all unpredictable.
I rely on him to do what he does, but it would have gone like this, okay? All right. Louis.
What does that even mean?
That's Louis the Lip over there. Hold on a second. Here we go. Let me look into my crystal ball and see what's going to happen here. I think, no tie. There he goes. I really liked it better that time.
And if the House...
Second time was the best time.
Thank you. And if the House cannot pick a president, but the Senate chooses a vice president, then the vice president becomes the acting president. And there are people who believe that when you look at the Electoral College votes that have stacked up so far, that a tie is a very real possibility.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
I'm just
saying. Do you even think that's possible?
I do think it's possible.
I mean, anything's possible. Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't think I can't say that I think it's going to happen. I think there's a better chance than usual for it to happen.
Oh, Jesus.
Not going to happen.
That's all.
No way.
Crystal ball said so.
He likes to scare people. I think a tie would be just a mess.
Exactly.
And look what they just did. That was just a horrible mess.
Just trying to warn you about that possibility.
So there's no chance in there if there's a tie that they could like alternate days being president.
No, it doesn't work that way, Rob.
As long as Moose Hunter's out of the picture, that's all I care about.
Moose Hunter.
Yeah, there's my naked partisanship right there.
And a great...
As long as Snowmobile Annie's out of there, that's all I care
about. Great DJ name, Moose Hunter.
Moose Hunter.
This is an amazing story. A Florida woman was forced to drop her toddler nearly 40 feet into a crowd of fairgoers after the mother and child got trapped on a carnival ride. It happened in Port Orange, Florida. Sherry Pinkerton and her daughter were stepping out of the crazy bus Ferris wheel when it suddenly started up again. Sherry's leg got caught in it, and before long, she was holding onto the suspended car with one hand and holding onto her daughter with the other.
Jesus.
The crowd below assured her they would catch the child if she would just let go. Others ran for a ladder to get the mother down. Witnesses were amazed.
Long time to get a ladder, long time to respond. But after she was pulled up, then the fire trucks came and the ambulances and everybody came. But 10 minutes, she was there a long time.
No
well,
one.
Why is it always that guy?
He's
why
everywhere.
Why is it always?
Hey, what's going on on this side?
Jesus, why do we go with a guy that really, you could hear better English spoken in a foreign country? Mike. What is the deal? Why is it always that?
Well, you go get lied up, baby.
When's the last time you saw William F. Buckley at a carnival?
He's dead, Rob.
Exactly.
Carnival in Florida.
No, I mean, really, all due respect, I just wish I wanted the eyewitness account from a storyteller.
Hello. Let me tell you what happened.
So, finally,
suddenly it started to shift.
All right. Finally, and puppy dog tails. That's what boys are made from. In Canberra, Australia, a 7-year-old boy has upset a lot of people by feeding rare and exotic zoo animals to a crocodile.
Wow.
This was probably also upsetting to the turtle, the 6 lizards, and the 2 bearded dragons that made such a nice snack for Terry the crocodile.
I bet he had fun, though.
That must have been good to watch.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, my
Nobody
God.
Likes this boy now.
I don't mind him that much.
Except maybe the crocodile. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thanks, Buzz. Want to thank CNBC's money hottie, Carmen Wong Ulrich. She was fabulous on the show today. Also, the dog psychic, Janelle Eaton. I don't think Beth Ann got what she wanted with Bunny, but keep trying.
Did. Hoax! Hoax!
Tomorrow, Richard Lewis and also Alex Ovechkin on the big show. The executive producer of the Mike O'Mara Show is Beth Ann McBride. Our in-studio producer is Rob Spiewak. Our phone screener is Joe Ardinger. And our show comes to you from the studios of WJFK FM in Fairfax, Virginia, and is heard exclusively on the Ferris Wheel Radio Network. For Beth Ann, Rob, and Buzz Burbank, this is Mike O'Mara reminding you,
yes,
drop your socks and grab your bank accounts. Happy days are here. Yes, the markets are crashing, but brighter times are near. Negative campaigning is the order of the day. Put on the prompter and you'll love what they have to say. Well, hang in there, America. We've still got sports on TV. Volcano tacos, free cable, and things that fill us with glee. But lest we get too giddy, let me leave you with one final note. If you feel as effed as I do, y'all better get out and vote. Thanks a lot. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, gang.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.